in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you," for every believer, for every child of God. My body is broken for you. Christ died for every believer, every child of God. You do this in remembrance of me. This is not a sacrament. It has no saving power. The saving power is in the broken body and shed blood of Christ, not in the bread and the wine. It's in Him. But we take this bread in remembrance of Him. We take this cup in remembrance of Christ. If we know Him, we want to remember Him. We don't want to forget Him. Constantly remember how we're saved, by whom we're saved, why we're saved, for His glory, and to what we're saved, to everlasting glory. And so you do it now. You do it. Every believer. This do. He didn't say talk about it. He didn't say argue about it. He said do it. Do it. Do it. Take, eat. This is my body. This represents my broken body. You take it, you eat it. It's broken for you. If it's broken for you, you take it and eat it. And you do this in remembrance of me. This is not a church fellowship supper. It's not to show your worthiness, it's to show His worthiness. But I'm not worthy to take it. You weren't worthy when He chose you, and you weren't worthy when He died for you, and you weren't worthy when He called you, and you're not worthy now. And you'll never be worthy. It's not our worthiness. It's because He's worthy. I'm coming to this table, not because I'm worthy, but because He's worthy. He's worthy. Worthy is the Lamb to receive all the honor and glory. Now, you do it in remembrance of me. Don't you let anything keep you from... If you're His own, you belong to Him. After the same manner also, He took the cup. And when He had supped, He's one with us. One with us. He's our representative, our Redeemer. He supped. He took upon Himself our sins, identified, numbered with the transgressors. And He supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, new testament, in my blood. This do ye. As oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do what? You show the Lord's death until He comes. We'll keep remembering Him until He comes again. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner..." What is an unworthy manner? Not discerning the broken body and shed blood of Christ. Not being one of His own. That'd be the only unworthy manner. Is not knowing Him, not loving Him, not believing Him, not resting in Him. If you do it as a form or a ceremony, it's unworthy. If you do it for any other reason than to remember Him, you do it unworthily. But when a genuine, sincere believer who loves Christ and believes Christ does what Christ tells him to do, takes the bread, remembering His broken body, and takes the wine, remembering His shed blood, it's not unworthily, it's sincerely. Discerning, understanding why He died. Shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 28, "And let a man examine himself." It's not my business to examine your heart, your faith, your confidence. I don't know who knows Christ and who doesn't. I believe you do. But I do know this fellow here. I know of all of his sins and weaknesses and failures and unbelief. But I do know this. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded He's able to keep that I've committed to Him. And I have committed it to Him against that day. And I do love this Savior. And He knows it. And I know it. Do you know it? Sure you do. "Then let a man examine himself." Don't look for perfection. You won't find it anywhere but in Christ. Don't look for it up here or out there. But don't look in here. Look to Him. "Let a man examine himself." For what? Are you resting in Christ? Do you believe Christ? "Let a man examine himself," and didn't say, and go away from the table and pass by the table. "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat." And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Verse 28. All right, let's turn in our hymn books to number 191. This is a song we're going to sing to another tune, Abide With Me, but it's a great hymn. Notice carefully the words while we sing it. Let's stand while we sing it. Number 191. Open your Bibles now to the book of 1 Peter. My message tonight is on this subject, the price of redemption. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it's a familiar text, 1 Peter chapter 1. I preached from this not too awful long ago, but Peter, in the early verses of chapter 1, identifies the people to whom he's writing. In verse 1, he calls us strangers. We're in this world, but we're not of this world, and we're not loved by this world. We're strangers. We're not strangers to God or to one another, but we're strangers to this world. And then in verse 2, he calls us God's elect. God has made a difference between us and the people of the world. John said, we know we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And Moses said, God put a difference between the Israelites and the Egyptians. We're God's elect, chosen before the foundation of the world. And then he says in verse 3 that we're born again, begotten us again. We're born the first time, and that made us sons of Adam, children of wrath by nature. We're born the second time, and that made us sons of God, children of God, born of God. Then in verse 4, he says we are heirs of God. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. It fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. Reserved in heaven. For whom? For you. And there's no period there. It's a comma. For you who are kept by the power of God. We don't keep ourselves. We're kept by the power of God. Through faith, not apart from faith. Through faith unto salvation. Then he says in verse 6 and 7 that we're tried people. We've got to experience the furnace of affliction. And he tells us in the book of Job that after we've been, he knows our steps. He orders our steps. And after we've been tried, we'll come out of that furnace as gold, purified for the glory of our Lord. And then he says we're a saved people. In verse 8 says, whom having not seen, we haven't seen Christ, not with these eyes. We have with eyes of faith. I see him in the Word, and I see him in providence, and I see him in his people. I see him in a lot of ways. See him in the wisdom of his creation. I see him, but not with these eyes. But having not seen, we love him, and in whom though now we see him not, yet we believe. We not only love him and believe him, but we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And all of this winds up in the salvation of our souls. And now down in verse 17, that's where I want to go. Now, and the people he's writing to now, remember those words that I've used there from the first few verses. But he says now, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. God looks on the heart. That's where he sees. Not the outward flesh. He doesn't respect a man's flesh, either man or male or female, Jew or Gentile, old or young. God doesn't respect these credentials that we think we have. He sees the heart, the new heart which he gave us. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. What's that saying? If you call on the Father, if you're one of these elect, strangers, born again, heirs of God. Some interpret this as a time of prayer and devotion when you call on God in prayer. And that's all right. That's very true. That's applicable. Like I've told you so many times, the Scripture is bifocal. And as long as it doesn't violate the rest of the Scripture, no Scripture is any private interpretation. That is, it won't stand alone. It's got to have all the rest of the Word of God. And there's nothing wrong with interpreting that way. If you pray, if you call on the Father, if you call for His mercy and His grace, you remember who you're talking to. That's right. Remember to whom you're speaking. He's God. God's in heaven, you're on earth. Let your words be few. Choose them carefully. A fool's known with a multitude of his words. Choose them carefully. But I don't think in the context that's what he's talking about here. It's not just a devotion or a time of prayer. And that's true, we do. We slip into God's presence. Do it with reverence. Do it with awe. Do it with fear. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Give him the glory. But what we're talking about here, if you're one of those elect strangers, one of those redeemed, tried, and kept believers, born again, if you call God your Father, not just call on Him, but you call Him Father, Abba Father. If you call Him, if you call on God for mercy and grace in Christ all the way through this life, and the life to come, then you do so all the way on this road,
on this, through this valley of tears and through this dark valley. You, as you walk this road, you've got a time here to spend. You're a sojourner. You're a pilgrim. You're passing through. So you spend that time in prayer. All of it. That's what that's saying in Ephesians. It's saying, you read that, read the other verses that go with it. If you call him Father, if you profess to know him, if I do, claim to be his child, then you pass all of this journey, not in spits and spurts and high and low, you pass it all in the fear of the Lord. All with reverence for God Almighty. We don't change. That message never changes. He's God yesterday, God today, and God tomorrow. He's on the throne. Whatever happens, that's right. Whatever happens. And I know we have these conflicts and thoughts that we ought not have, but we better squash them and pass the time in fear. Fear of the Lord. All right, look at verse 18. For as much as you know, you know this. This is not speculation. This is not up for debate. We know. We're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers. Let's take those words one at a time. We know. Say something we know. This we know. He's God. He's redeemed us. Deliver him from going down into the pit. I found a ransom. Our Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Galatians 1:13. Look at this. Listen to it. Galatians 1:13. We know this. Galatians chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us. He hath redeemed us, bought us back, paid the ransom from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. We know that. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He's redeemed us. Now look, we're not redeemed with corruptible things. Well, it says such as silver and gold. I used to wonder why he's talking about silver and gold. Well, there is a certain redemption in the book of Numbers. Turn over here a minute. Numbers chapter 3. There's a certain type of redemption that was done with silver and gold. I want you to watch this. In Numbers 3, verse 48 through 51, you can read several passages before and see what this is all about. But look here at Numbers 3, verse 48. And thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and his sons. And Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites. Of the firstborn of the children of Israel took he the money, 1,300 threescore and 5 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons, according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. I have silver and gold, and a type of redemption, or payment. And I'm sure a picture of our Lord. As Spurgeon said one time, the silver of his sweat and the gold of his blood was the price he paid. But we're not redeemed with silver or gold and corruptible things. And turn to Hebrews 10. Silver and gold passes away. Silver and gold is certainly corruptible. But here's something else with which we're not redeemed. And that is the sacrifices and ceremonies and holy days and all of these Old Testament pictures and types. We're not redeemed with those things which are corruptible. Look, if you will, at Hebrews 10. Verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith to the Father, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Not one blood sacrifice, not one day of atonement, not one sin offering has ever brought pleasure to the Father. These things do not redeem. They weren't given to redeem. They weren't given to redeem. They're pictures of Christ who redeemed. All right, turn back to the text. 1 Peter 1. So, we know this. We know that we are redeemed, but we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, works, obedience, religion, ceremonies, sacrifices, feast days, all of these things, we're not redeemed with those things. From our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers. What is this vain conversation? Well, twofold. Twofold. And it's summed up in one statement. The best translation I found of this is the following. Listen. You're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your useless way of living. Useless way of living. And that applies, first of all, to the Jewish religion that had degenerated from the time Moses gave that law, the Levitical law, and gave the types and the pictures and the shadows and the sacrifices. It had degenerated into just a religion of form and ceremony. Useless way of living. Just a useless way of living. But it not only applies to that, false religion. And I had that useless religion one time. Many of you did. But it also applies to that useless way of living we inherited from our fathers. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses of sin. And you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, wherewith we all had our useless way of living. But we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold or works or religion or ceremony or sacrifices from our useless religion and useless way of life. But listen, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's how I'm redeemed. With the precious blood of Christ. That's how I'm redeemed. That's how you're redeemed. With the precious. And not many things called precious in the Bible. Did you know that? Not many things called precious. Some things. I know three or four. One, he's precious. Scripture says unto you that believe he's precious. He's not precious to those folks you work with. But he's precious to you, isn't he? Unto you that believe, Christ is precious. He gets sweeter every day. More precious every day. Not only is he precious, but his blood's precious, it says here. Precious blood. His promises are precious. Where would we be without his promises? Abraham believed that what he promised he's able to do. His promises are precious. Faith's precious. He has given us like precious faith. If you got faith, it's precious. How precious it is. And the death of his children is precious to him. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his children. Those are things that are precious. He's precious. His blood's precious. His promises are precious. The faith he gives us is precious. And when we come to leave this earth, it'd be a precious time. Why is his blood called precious blood? Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you. Number one, because it's the blood of God. Something that's precious is valuable, isn't it? That's why it's precious, because it's valuable. It means everything to me. It's precious. So precious. Well, this is the blood of God. Feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Not only is it precious because it's the blood of God, but it's precious because it's untainted by sin. When you go down to the hospital to give your blood, they run it through every test known to man. Why? Looking for something wrong with it. And they'll usually find it. But his blood is pure. Unspotted, untainted by sin. Precious. And I'll tell you this, it's precious because it's got the power to save the chief of sinners. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all my sins. Past, present, and future. That's power. Power in the blood. Power in the blood. No power in my handshake. No power in the altar. No power in the pool. But there's power in the blood. Power to save the chief of sinners. Keep him saved. Present him faultless before the throne of God, righteous and holy as the Son of God himself. Tell you another reason why this blood's precious, because it's just offered one time. By one offering. Just one time. Things that happen once are precious. One time. One time. To know him is to have life. To miss Christ, you're gone.
Because it's just one time, by one offering, one shedding, one cross, one death, one sacrifice, one high priest, one Savior. And then it's precious because it's a song of the redeemed in glory. That's what they're singing right now. And that's what we'll be singing when we stand in His presence under Him. And you know that'll be easy to sing then if you've been singing it here, won't it? Under Him who loved us and washed us from our sins with His own precious blood. I want to read you something. I gave you this years ago, 12 years ago. It's about the blood. The blood, the precious blood of Christ. His blood redeems us from all sin. Inherent sin, personal sin, inward sin, outward sin, secret sin, known sin, past sin, future sin. Oh, how blessed we are to be redeemed from the bondage of sin and from the law. I know those old Jews like Abraham and Aaron and Moses and Jacob were blessed. Some of them were looking to Christ. But the bondage of the ceremonial law was such a burden to them. They were hedged in by 1,000 commandments and prohibitions and rules and regulations. The forms and ceremonies and sacrifices and holy days were many. And these Jews were always in danger of making themselves unclean. If they sat on a certain bed, unclean. Sat on a certain stool, unclean. If they drank from a certain pitcher, unclean. If they touched a wall that a leprous man may have touched, unclean. If they ate a certain kind of food, unclean. If they did a certain deed, walked too far on the Sabbath day, unclean. Defiled. 1,000 sins of ignorance were like hidden pits before them. They must be in constant fear lest they be cut off. No Jew ever talked of a finished work. No Jew ever talked of an effectual sacrifice. The bullock was offered, but there must be another. I'm free. The black people used to sing that song, "Free at Last." Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. I know the meaning of that song. I'm free. Free from the law. Oh, happy condition. We don't know how happy that condition is. Jesus has died. There's remission. Oh, I tell you. Do you know that? That's what Peter said. He knew it far as much. And he said, you know it. As you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain, useless way of life received by tradition from your fathers. But you were redeemed with a precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish or spot. Now watch this in closing. Who? The Lord Jesus. That's who we're talking about. We're not talking about the Lord Jesus and anyone. We're talking about the Lord Jesus. Verily. What's that word mean? Truly. Certain. Who? Verily. 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 Verily I say unto you. Truly. Truly I say unto you. Who verily was foreordained. He was predestinated. He was chosen to be our surety. There was a lamb before there was ever a sinner. There was a surety before there was ever a fall. Ordained. Foreordained. Before the foundation of the world. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But he was manifested. He came born of woman. Manifested. In these last days. What's this now? For you. For you. You strangers. You elect. You born again. You tried. You kept. You heirs. For you. Watch it. See, there's no period there. It's the same. He words in the same way he speaks in verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven, not for everybody, for you who are kept. This inheritance is designated and ordained and reserved, incorruptible, in heaven for you. A certain people, for you who are kept by the power of God. And then down here in verse 20, He says he was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but he was manifested in these last times for you, comma, who do by him, who by, how do you believe? By him you believe. By his grace you believe. By his work you believe. By his gift you believe. By his quickening you believe. By his grace, who by him. And I thank God I believed on Jesus. I thank God he enabled me to believe on Jesus. I thank God he gave me faith to believe on. I thank God he called me in the day of his power. If he hadn't called me, I'd have never called on him. If he hadn't pursued me and arrested me and come out there in the wilderness and found me and put me on his shoulders, I'd have never found my way home. I didn't know where home. I didn't know I was lost. I not only didn't know where home was, I didn't miss it. Right. Who by him, and the prodigal son didn't miss it either till he got down. Till he got down. Till he got stripped and broken. That's when he missed home. He was ordained for you who believe. He fulfilled all righteousness for you who believe. He died on the cross for you who believe. He was manifested for you who believe. He'll one day come for you who believe. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him all the glory, that your faith and your hope might be in him. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's that for you again. For you. I go to prepare a place for you. This inheritance is reserved for you. The precious blood of Christ was ordained and manifested for you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back for you. And that's good. I'm coming back for you. That where I am, there you may be. There you may be also. All right, the brethren are going to serve the Lord's table now.
Our Father, and we with one heart and one voice do thank thee tonight that by your grace we know something of these precious things. To us, Christ is precious. And thy promises, thy word, O God, is precious. How comforting, how confident we are in resting in thy word and thy promises that cannot fail. And we recognize that this, the very fact that we believe this gospel, that we believe thy word, we believe Christ, is a miracle of thy grace. And we do believe, Lord, help our unbelief, increase our faith. This precious faith that you've given us. And Lord, we know that when we come to leave this earth, because of the hope that we have in Christ, it'll not be a fearful time. It'll be a precious time. And we'll come into thy presence, enjoy thy glory forever. And all of this is ours because of his precious blood. And I thank you. Thank you for this congregation of believers. For the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And before thee and before one another, we declare that our hope is built on nothing less than our Lord's blood and righteousness. And our God, this is no form that we're going through. This is our confidence, our hope, and our lives. Christ is our life. And we pray that you would take the message and take this experience and all that transpires in these days and use it to glorify him who is worthy. We thank you. In his name we pray. Amen.